This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Leckie and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Like, we're just going to give you the information. You can decide.
We report.
Because, like, I don't want to get in the middle of all this. It always comes back to us. Oh, here we go. Mitchell Trubisky.
You haters. You guys are haters. Remember what you said? Here, remember what you said about Cam Newton? Remember what you said about Nick Foles?
I remember what I said about Cam Newton. I thought the Bears should have gone after him.
Remember what you said about Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, let me finish up with the Cam Newton.
Remember what you said? Do you remember? I think Cam Newton would have been wrong.
Cam Newton would have made more sense than giving away a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
To go get and trade for Nick Foles.
Because here's the thing. If you would have gotten Cam Newton for $1 million or whatever it costs, because I think it only costs like $1 million.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all it costs. Guess what? When you bench him, it doesn't matter. Cost you a million. And then guess what?
What's next?
What'd you say about Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater. He's no good now?
What about Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton. Listen, that pick at the end of the game against the Giants, he just threw that thing up there. But at times looked respectable as a backup for Dak Prescott filling in this season for the Cowboys.
But what about Teddy Bridgewater?
So Black and Abdallah here on ESPN.
Remember when you said Nick Foles was better?
I mean, better than what? I think it's all relative, right? So the conversation is this. We're going to talk about Mitchell Trubisky here in this segment. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. And the reason why I want to say we're going to give you the facts and you can decide. Because I feel as if in this city, sometimes here in Chicago, we like to pump up our own a little bit more than maybe those around the country would, looking in from the outside in on some of our sports athletes, which I think it's okay. Because sometimes we know first. Right, like all of us here in Chicago, we knew before everyone else that Derrick Rose was going to be a problem in the NBA. That Derrick Rose was legit and that he was going to win an MVP and he was going to be the guy to be the next guy in the league. Right, like he gets hurt and everything gets unraveled from there. But before he got hurt here in Chicago, we knew. Right, we had the inside tip on Derrick Rose. We knew what was going on. I feel as if we also knew a couple of years ago, just go back to Mitchell Trubisky in this offense, we had the inside tip. We have seen for some time now that Trubisky cannot get it done when he's challenged. As a quarterback in the National Football League against good defenses, when he has to go out there throw it from 40 to 50 times a game. Now, you could also argue that when any quarterback goes out there and has to do that, it's not the recipe for success. But I feel as if the only way you can win with Mitchell Trubisky is to limit what he does as a quarterback and rely on your run game and rely on that defense to get you a victory. You have a kicker who's making all his kicks this year, Santos. He's been great.
A lot of kicks.
So as we head towards and we turn this boat towards the Saints and we look at wildcard weekend and say, how can the Bears win this game? I think many of us in this city understand that you are at a major disadvantage at the quarterback position heading into this playoff game. And not just a disadvantage when it comes to the matchup of the two quarterbacks on the field on Sunday. Of course, he's at a disadvantage when it comes to Drew Brees. But if Drew Brees wasn't there and it was Taysom Hill who was starting, I think some people would still suggest that Hill is the better quarterback in that matchup with the two teams running their offenses catered to their two quarterbacks who are not that good.
How dare you?
I'm just saying, if you look at this matchup.
How dare you?
So how do the Bears win this game?
How dare you?
Their defense is going to have to be great. They're going to have to run the football. Mitchell Trubisky cannot make mistakes. But also, Matt Nagy has to have the play-calling game of his life. Mm-hmm. And we can get into whether or not he's the one calling the plays or it's Bill Lazor or it's the combo platter of both of them coming up with these plays. Whoever it is, They have to have the play-calling game of their lives mm-hmm. to beat the Saints this weekend.
Well, not only that, but you have to, you know, go back in time. And as Ryan Pace was about to submit the card for Trubisky, you go, you like the portal opens, and you appear, and you go, nope. And you take it out of the card out of his hand, and you write Patrick Mahomes on it, and you go, here you go. That's who we're taking, and that's how you win the game on Sunday.
That's all you have?
Well, I mean, what else? How do you think they have a chance on Sunday?
I just laid it out for you. The defense has to be great. You have to run the football. You got to limit what Trubisky does. Hopefully you use Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet, first of all, I wonder if Bears fans notice this. You know, before the Packers game, he talked about how being, when he was younger growing up here in the Chicagoland area, how mm-hmm. there was no green and yellow in his house. He went out there against the Packers. He was trying to hurt dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Immediately, yeah. I was like, all right, Cole Kmet. Yes, I like this.
I like that. Also,
Cole
awesome.
Kmet has to have a game.
No green
in
the house.
A playoff game.
You don't use the letter P during Packer week?
I love it.
Yeah. What do you call it? What else? No ketchup on hot dogs in his household.
No.
Not in his house.
Is ketchup a Packer thing?
No, but it's Chicago, man. We're not right. dealing with that. No Packers and no ketchup.
Got it. Got it.
But no, here's how you beat them. You have the same recipe that you used against the Packers, but you have to convert those field goals into touchdowns. You can't go and not score in the red zone. You can't. Cairo Santos can't lead you in scoring. You know, that's how you beat the Saints, is you have success in the red zone. You can't march all the way down the field, eat up 8 minutes of off the clock, take an entire half of a quarter, and kick a field goal against the Saints. You can't do it. You couldn't do it against the Packers, and you can't do it against the Saints, who, yes, they don't have as good of offense, but they have a much better defense, because otherwise you're going to have exactly what happened against the Packers. You're going to take 8 minutes off the clock, you're going to score 3 points in a field goal, and then what's going to happen? The Saints are going to score in 3 minutes because your defense is suspect, because yes, they haven't been playing well as of late, but you're also going to be most likely without Jalen Johnson, Buster Screen, probably not Roquan Smith, and you haven't had Eddie Goldman all year because he opted out at the beginning of the season because of COVID-19. So you're going to have a defense that is struggling, and they're going to be without three of their players again. So to me, you have to win this game with your offense. You can't win this game with your defense. They're not reliable. You have to win with offense, and I don't think they can do that. I don't think that there is a way that the Bears win this game with their offense.
If you want to talk Bears, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Joe and Schaumburg, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to jump in on the Mitch conversation. In my opinion, at least, the Bears have been so historically bad at the quarterback position that we shouldn't even have the right to even complain about it anymore. I'm not defending Mitch at all by this, but this guy that has obviously failed and to meet up expectations and everything, he's the third quarterback in our entire franchise to have 1,000 completions. And in my lifetime, the Packers have had two quarterbacks out of 100 years that have completely eclipsed our organization, that at this point, until we get somebody that is even a top one or two quarterbacks in even our own division, we shouldn't even have the right to even talk about the position anymore. It should just be just a player to be named later at this point until we figure it out.
Thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate it. Let's go to James and Gurney. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
James.
Boys. This whole Mitch and Kyle, let's just really put in perspective all this stuff that's happened up to this point, all of it. But Nagy's play calling, and I'm not standing by Nagy, but their hands are tied. This kid cannot process. He still looks like a deer in the headlights. He can't process a half a field. Guys, what have they done? Roll him out half a field. He can't even look to his second read. I watched the tape. I've taped all his games, most of them. I watched them last night, a few of them, especially against Green Bay. Even when we cut the field in half, he can't even go off his second read. He can't even hit a second read and half of a field. He just cannot process. This isn't personal. The kid's just not good enough. And not Nagy's make some terrible play calls, but look at Laser. Their hands are tied. This kid is not good enough. That's all there is to it. It isn't personal or Mitch Truthers. He can't even process a half a field and go to his second read. No matter ever go to three or four or what or get a pre pre-snap read and see who's in single coverage. All you got to do is press with your linebackers, look like you're going man, drop back in zone, he's going to throw a pick. It's over. He's just not good enough, boys. He can't process the game. He still looks like a deer in the headlights. Look at him. You know, he's just not good enough. You guys are doing a great job. Have a good night.
Thanks, James. Good call. Let's go to Dave in Bolingbrook. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dave?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What's up?
I was just going to say with Ryan Pace, I just can't believe, like, that he can't come out and, you know, talk to the fans at some point with the media. I mean, it's almost radio silence with them from the Bears. I mean, we have some rabid fans here. Why not get us involved and, hey, take some tough questions, deal with it. But at least, I think it's a bad PR move that he is just, like, silent. And I think it doesn't do him any good for keeping his job. You know, you want to keep these fans involved.
Yeah, no, I listen, Dave, and I'm with you. Like, I think, and I've pointed it out throughout the season, I think Ryan Pace not talking to the fan base and to the media does a disservice for himself. Mm-hmm. I feel as if he, listen, the draft record and the record of the team at the end of the day is what really matters when it comes to a GM and whether or not you're winning at a high level. But the public perception of why Ryan Pace does the things he does and whether or not people would go easier on him, I think would be helped if he spoke frequently.
Well, he does the bare minimum.
Well, no, I know he does, but I've mentioned this in the past. Tom Telesco, the L.A. Chargers GM, he's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. He talks to radio shows each week. Ryan Pace doesn't do that.
No.
And I feel as if he did, to Dave's point, he would help himself. Now, the bad picks, the trash picks that he's made, and why this team has been 500 for the last two seasons, and why we're worried that they can't win a first-round playoff game, that's what eventually will get you fired as a GM in the National Football League, especially if you can't find a franchise quarterback. But his public perception would be different if he spoke more.
Yeah, I think that doing the bare minimum of, at the combine, after the draft, before the season starts, and then at the end of the season is not enough. You know, I would like to see him. I'm not saying he needs to do a radio show, like Telesco does, like you mentioned, I think that if he did every four games, or at least at the halfway point, do it at the trade deadline, either whether you make moves or not, do it at the halfway point, do it during the bye week. You need to talk more. You need to put it out there for your fan base where you are with this team, where your confidence level is. Even if you do the always fake, we have full faith in Matt Nagy and what he's doing for the team, that's fine too.
It would only help his own cause.
Absolutely.
Not speaking does not help him.
No, because no one knows what he's doing. I don't even know what he does. What's he doing up there?
He's GMing.
What's he doing? What?
Being a GM.
Doing what?
Just hanging out, doing GM things like he would. We're off to a great start here on the show. 312-332-3776. Coming up next, we will take more of your phone calls. And also, I have a new nickname for Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, nice.
A new nickname that I think that we came up with here on the show. I wanted to share this new nickname with you. I will bring you the new nickname for Mitchell Trubisky. That's next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're keeping our eyes on the Heisman Trophy presentation on ESPN television right now. Will Devontae Smith win the Heisman Trophy?
Yes.
Wide receiver from Alabama. He's fantastic. So we'll keep our eyes on that. I've got a new nickname for Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh.
You know, the theme tonight from the show is we're just going to give you information. You decide. I don't know. Are you okay? People watching on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago, you're like You're having...
Well, what about Teddy Bridgewater?
You're having body issues.
I'm just
there.
Asking you about Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's pretty good. So we're going to give you the information tonight. You know, like, for example, earlier today, what was it? Pro Football Focus. They mm-hmm. had a graphic out.
Yes.
That was taking inventory on quarterbacks going against their opponents this season, trying to figure out who's actually had the toughest season this year as a quarterback going against defenses and who has had the easiest. That's a graphic that was out there earlier today on social media.
Yes, and Trubisky played the easiest defenses out of any quarterback.
You're
in the
making
NFL.
That graphic.
I'm not. It's not for me. It is from Pro Football
Wait,
Focus.
So that's he's the worst
he
in
is
the league?
Well, no. He played the worst defenses in the league.
He had the easiest go.
He had the easiest go.
Who had the hardest?
I got to look at
it. I thought you had the graphic at your ready.
I mean, I'll get it.
I thought you were ready to go with the graphic.
I don't just have this stuff ready.
I thought sometimes you had graphics ready.
It's on. I know. I mean, I don't have graphics in my, in my draft just ready to go.
Unload?
No, it was Daniel Jones, Nick Mullins, Carson Wentz, Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, Tua Tagovailoa, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Foles.
Stop right there.
Jared Goff.
Give me those first like five again.
So Daniel Jones, Nick Mullins, Carson Wentz,
okay.
Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson.
And then what? Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold, okay. Tua,
so
Teddy Bridgewater.
Here's what I take away from that. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the top of that list, first of all, Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
We know he's a backup, right?
Backup.
Okay. If you really want to worry about Nick Mullins as a starting quarterback,
throw it out.
I don't think he will be. I'm going to throw that one out.
Throw it
Number
out.
One, Daniel Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would be very concerned as a Giants fan when your franchise quarterback has had the easiest go and he struggled.
No,
times.
He said the hardest.
Or the hardest?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, I misheard you.
Yeah, he said that's what you wanted. Oh, you wanted the hardest.
All right, so he's been okay.
Yeah.
Struggled, but okay, he's had a tough time.
Yeah, you want the easiest now? So Trubisky's the easiest by far.
No, so on that list, you mm-hmm. mentioned Russell Wilson within group.
I did.
So maybe we should put a little bit more into Russell Wilson's category as trying mm-hmm. to figure out MVP conversations. Like, where's Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes
is somewhere
right
in the middle. Right?
He's like right in the middle.
Aaron Rodgers somewhere in the middle.
Aaron Rodgers is. I have to look at all these names.
Two fantastic seasons. Like, they ripped up the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers is in the pretty easy one. So Aaron Rodgers is fifth from the bottom.
Right.
So Trubisky is the easiest.
So he has the easiest.
But so there's Trubisky. There's a gap, right? So there's Trubisky, and then there's a gap between the next one. So Trubisky has the easiest by far.
Okay.
So imagine if it was like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's five, and then way after that is four.
Okay.
So it's not just like...
And who's that quarterback?
That'd be Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
And then Gardner Minshew, and then Kirk Cousins, and then Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so like off the bat, Gardner Minshew...
Throwing it
you
out.
Should have major concern
yeah.
with him as a quarterback. He's had the easiest go, and he was mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah.
Who else is on it? Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers is second worst, easiest, I guess.
Okay. He's been okay. They're a playoff team on the road against Buffalo this weekend, but I wouldn't say that Phillip Rivers had a great season. He was mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. He was all right. They won some games.
Mm-hmm.
But he's at the end of his career. You're no longer thinking Phillip Rivers as like that franchise guy for the next extended period of time. The Colts are probably going to draft a quarterback or make a move in this offseason for someone else. I get that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is on the list?
Kirk Cousins is next.
He was bad.
Aaron Rodgers is after that.
He was very good.
Ryan Fitzpatrick after that.
Fitz, not great.
Ryan Tannehill after that.
Tannehill, pretty good.
Taysom Hill after that.
Hill was actually okay in the Saints starts when he had to fill in for Drew Brees.
Drew Lock after that.
Drew Lock, he was bad this season.
Now here's one. His great numbers this year. Great numbers this year. But crap team. Great numbers. Crap team.
Yeah, I heard you the first time.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Great
but
numbers.
If you look
crap
at his
team.
Numbers,
yeah, you're
he
right.
put up phenomenal numbers. Their defense is god awful.
Yeah. So I think when you listen to all this, it's very concerning that Trubisky is unable to put up good numbers, having by far the easiest competition he's faced out of any quarterback in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's concerning to me.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be concerning to Bears fans.
Should be.
We're just giving you the information. So I mentioned
but
I've
like,
got a
look
new.
Look at this. Look at
the, no,
look
I know. I saw the graphic. He is way like, off the page yeah. compared to where the next
Phillip
quarterback
Rivers
is.
Yeah.
Like at the top, they're all pretty close, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I've got a new nickname for Mitchell Trubisky. Again, more information. Just going to give you the information. You figure it out. 312-332-3776. We're getting ready. Bears and Saints this weekend. Wild card round. The super wild card round with two additional games this weekend. All right. So Dean on Twitter sent me this picture the other day. Listen, Dean was fighting a good fight the other night. He had all kinds of Trubisky truthers coming at him out of the woodworks. His handle is NIU Dean, and Dean is just trying to fight off.
Is he the dean of NIU?
I don't know, but he's just fighting off all these Trubisky truthers. They're just coming for him left and right, and here they are, and this is going
to
be the thing, and look
Welcome
at
to
this.
Our world.
And so Dean's going to town fighting off the Trubisky truthers on Twitter, and I'm in his mentions because I was tagged on these tweets. So I'm seeing him fight the good fight, trying to get out this information. And he posted a screenshot from the game this weekend against the Packers. Bears-Packers this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the screenshot is this. Air yards this season. Number 10, Mitchell Trubisky. And it's got the picture. It's got the Fox graphic of Trubisky because, you know, Fox went away from the actual photos and now they're drawing the pictures of the quarterbacks and all the star players, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Trubisky picture actually kind of looks like Trubisky.
Well, I mean,
give credit to Fox for that.
He kind of looks like a cartoon.
What are you doing there? Was that a personal attack?
No,
Mitchell Trubisky.
No, he. I mean, look. If you had to make like a, if you had to make like a quarterback cartoon, he's got the chiseled jaw. He's got the slightly facial hair.
Let's go to Tyler Aki for the ruling. Was that a personal attack?
That was a personal shot. I called the man handsome. I said he'd be a perfect cartoon quarterback.
I think Nick Foles is a better cartoon quarterback.
No.
Yes.
No.
He's got a little too much surfer dude in him.
No.
But isn't that kind of like West Coast guy, quarterback, high school quarterback?
You've just never seen a real one at Syracuse, so you wouldn't know.
Now that's a shot.
I mean,
damn right it is.
I've got Donovan McNabb. He was a real quarterback.
That, how long ago was that? I don't even know. Tyler was 2 years old then. 2 years old.
If that.
I think I might be right, actually.
He might only be two years old
when Donovan McNabb was there.
He was awesome there.
I know.
All right, so back to the point. So Dean posts a picture of a graphic from the game this weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Mitchell Trubisky, air yards this season. And so on the graphic, here, I'll blow it up for you. Here you go. On the graphic, it says under 10, under 10 yards.
That's a good-looking cartoon. I don't know why you thought it was a shot.
Well, you said he looked like a cartoon.
Yeah, you called him a cartoon.
Yeah, that's a personal attack.
It's not at all. There are very handsome cartoons.
All right. Here we go.
Johnny Bravo.
So under 10 air yards. You okay over there?
Yeah, under 10 air yards.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to let people know about this.
Okay, yeah.
Under 10 air yards.
Yeah.
Completion percentage for Trubisky, 77%.
That's good.
Under 10 air yards, he has 13 touchdowns.
Wow.
Two interceptions.
Oh, that's it?
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Under 10 air yards, a quarterback rating of 116. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Quarterback rating, touchdown to interception ratio, good. Completion percentage, good.
Yeah.
10-plus yards. This is all in the same graphic. It was on the TV this week.
These are numbers. They don't lie.
10-plus yards. 45% completion percentage.
Ooh.
Three touchdowns to five interceptions.
Ooh.
And a quarterback rating of 60.
Ooh.
So the new nickname.
Ooh.
So I saw the graphic, and I'm thinking about it. The new nickname is Under 10 Mitch. Right?
Now
under 10.
Now that's a shot.
How is that a shot? The stats right there. Under 10. He is awesome. 77% completion percentage, 13 touchdowns, two interceptions, a 116 quarterback rating. Under 10, Mitch.
But his number is 10.
Under 10. Boom. There you go. New nickname. Under 10, Mitch.
Do you think because his number's 10, he only thinks he can throw that many yards down the field? Like that's how it works?
See, again, that's a shot. You're taking a shot at his IQ level there.
No, I'm not. Also under 10, maybe. Football.
Tyler,
football,
that wasn't a shot until you made it a shot.
What are you doing?
Football IQ.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Tim tweets the show. He says the new nickname should be 10 under. For people who don't get it, and then they'll think it's a golf thing, and maybe it'll flow a little bit better than under 10 Mitch. I think that's a new nickname. I don't see how you can watch Trubisky play over the last couple of years and not suggest that he's only good when he's throwing within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
So if he makes hats, because that's what athletes do, they make their own logos.
Oh, yeah.
Is his going to be like the under sign? Like, you know, like the
Under Armour?
Yeah. Not like Under Armour. Like less than? Less than. Yeah.
Less than sign?
Yeah. Less
the
than.
The under than
10?
Sign?
Yeah. Less than 10. Is that what it's going to be?
I mean, that could work. But it's not less than 10. It's just under 10. His stats are great when he's throwing under 10 yards. Like, here's the other thing. You watched the game against the Packers, and then did you see the chart of the passes?
Mm-hmm.
That was put out there,
yeah.
And it was like, and it shows you each
and
pass.
He had that one.
There's the one. Yeah, that's a good pass.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have all the green for the completions right at the line of scrimmage. You can't do that, especially against a good defense like the Saints, who are fourth in defensive yards per play this season.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best defenses in the entire league. You're not going to be able to dink and dunk your way to win this football game. We're going to need more out of Trubisky going down the field.
Well, they couldn't do it against a team that was 9th in yards allowed per game in the Packers and 13th in points allowed per game in the Packers. So the Saints defense is much better.
Well, so they're going to have to come up with a game plan to try and figure this out. Harry in Crown Point, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, man. What's
thank
up?
You.
Packer fan out of Indiana. I listen to a lot of Bears fans. Here's the problem. We have since Lovie Smith for the Chicago Bears. Everyone is content. The Bears have what's called mediocrity disease. If they don't get in the playoffs this year, you guys probably clear house, start over. You need to reset. But you wiggle in, you get embarrassed by the Packers, but you get in the playoffs. It'll keep everything on the status quo, and you'll never have a competitive team until you have that reset. And it started with Lovie Smith. And I don't know where else the Bears go than to pull the plug. You don't need 1-2 players. You need to restart that team and go. And as a Packers fan, I love to see them sit there at 8-8, be happy about it after getting smoked by the Packers, and then get in the playoffs. Because maybe it's not as loud as maybe Nagy keeps his job. And you know what? They're happy with it.
Harry, you love this, don't you?
I do. I absolutely love it.
See, and were you listening last night? Were you listening last night, Harry, when I said I just can't be that excited about backing into the playoffs and getting drilled by the Packers? To me as a Bears fan, it did not sit well to lose the way they did against the Packers twice this season, including in week 17, thus getting into the playoffs after getting your brains beat in by Green Bay. Do you understand my frustration with that?
I can, and I hate to bring up Lovie Smith because it's the same thing.
Well, I think, look, like you mentioned last night, am I excited that they – did I want them to make the playoffs? No, because I want a fresh start. I want
– to Harry's point.
Exactly. I want everyone – I want a new coach. I want a new GM. I want a new quarterback. But now that they're in it, do I want them to win? Sure, I want them to win because everyone's coming back anyway, so you might as well get something out of it, right?
Yeah,
like your mood changes once they're in because you know everyone's coming back.
Well, also, the mood is different when you get to game day. Like – Monday, Tuesday, it still doesn't sit well with me as a Bears fan that they lost to the Packers on Sunday. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Now, if they were 12-4, I would still be annoyed that they lost to the Packers, but I would be like, okay, maybe we could get a third shot at them. Maybe we could figure this out. 12-4 team. We're going to make a run here. But when you're on the verge of in the second half of the season, you lose so many games in a row, six, and then your record, you're eight and eight, 500 again, back-to-back seasons. It mm-hmm. doesn't seem like you're improving. It doesn't seem like they're going on the upswing. The arrow is pointing up, and that's why it's frustrating to me. If you watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, you can join the Twitch chat. Trey Tunes is in the Twitch chat right now.
Always.
Suggesting for Mitchell Trubisky, we suggest that his new nickname is Under 10 Mitch. That we sing the song like it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but Mitchell the 10-yard Trubisky.
Don't sing again. Trey Tunes can do it.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely knock it out of the park. I can't sing.
You don't do that.
I can't sing.
You don't do that.
I'm bad. Bad at singing.
That wasn't horrible, but I don't think
that right there was the best I could ever do.
That, like, one line. Like, you're good for one line, but I don't know if you could, like, if I gave you words to a song.
No.
I don't think you could sing all the words.
No.
Like, you're not The Weeknd.
No. The Weeknd?
What? What were you going to say?
Randy and Hobart, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Listen, it's good to hear local talk sports. I'm going to beat a dead horse here, but it seems like that's what the Bears are doing every time they play anyway. So I want to look at three levels. So first of all, Mitch Trubisky, we know he's bad. We know he's not a starting NFL quarterback. When has he played well enough against a good team and done something that helped them win against a good team in his four-year career, okay? And I think Waddle and Sylvie brought that up. Secondly, that stat that you brought up, that under 10 stat,
mm-hmm.
to me that's really more of a reflection on Matt Nagy's poor coaching, okay? You got a guy that you know doesn't run your offense well. You got an offensive line that doesn't block that extra second to give him a chance to be comfortable in the pocket and look downfield. And so he's failing in your offense. And so you bring in Nick Foles, who Nick Foles says, hey, we can't run this stuff sometimes because, you know, he told Greasy, we can't run this stuff sometimes because we don't have time. You know, we're getting killed. The offensive line is not holding, you know. So then Lazor comes in, right? And he rolls out Trubisky a little more. You get those short, maybe those shorter yardage throws that Mitch is okay at. Let's look at one particular play against the Packers, okay? How would it have been a different 4th-and-1 if maybe you roll Trubisky out on that play and give him some options, and what's the other thing he does well? He picks openings and he runs with his legs, you know? And so, to me, a huge part of the problem, I'm not trying to say Trubisky's a good quarterback. That's not what I'm trying to say because we know he's bad. But a huge part of the problem is Matt Nagy's arrogance and being the smartest guy in the room and insisting on running his offense no matter who their personnel is and not wanting to adapt it to the strengths of his players. And then the third part of this is Ryan Pace. And what do you expect that a GM should do, right? He should draft well. When he has a first-round pick, a high first-round pick, he should nail that thing. When he has a mid first-round pick, he should probably get somebody pretty good. And, you know, it's nice when he hits on the late-round picks, which Pace has done, right? Got to sign good free agents. That's your GM. Tell me, when you look at all three of those guys, has any one of those guys lived up to what they're supposed to do to make this a championship-caliber team? And I think that starts at the top with Ted Phillips. They really need to get a football guy who's running the organization. Love listening to you guys. I'll hang up and see what you got to say.
Thanks, Randy. Thank you for the phone call. And I think you make a lot of good points there. And I think it's definitely something to be critical about Matt Nagy and his play calling and his ability to coach Trubisky. He has failed in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Have they done a better job in the last couple of weeks? Yeah, absolutely. But I feel as if there's a cap on it. There's a ceiling on it. You can only go so far with this offense the way they're coaching it this way.
Look, we've seen it with Trubisky. When he's under center, he struggles. He gets happy feet. He looks uncomfortable. He goes with his first read. His offensive line doesn't really do him any favors, although they've been playing better in the last few games. When you roll him out, he's better. And throwing under 10 yards with the new nickname, he's better. But you can't win football games that way. You can beat really bad teams. You can beat the bottom of the barrel when it comes to defense teams. You can beat the Texans. You can beat the Lions. Well, they didn't beat the Lions, but you can beat the Jags. You can have success against bad teams. But when it comes to playing the upper echelon and teams you need to beat to get to a Super Bowl, like the Packers, it doesn't work. You can extend the plays. You can, yeah, sure, you can burn clock. You can dink and dunk your way down the field, but you can't get in the end zone that way. And it's not, you can't do that. And I don't understand, oh, he's not coaching Trubisky. Trubisky doesn't seem like he can be coached. Otherwise, think about it. If he can't have success throwing the ball down the field, how are you supposed to coach him to throw the ball down the field? It's been 4 years, Chris, and he's still struggling to throw the ball down the field. He's still overthrowing receivers. He's still not getting set in the pocket. That stuff you can't.
All right. What you're saying here, say it to me when we come back from break. Because
I'm going to say it again.
No, I think it's an interesting conversation. Is it that Mitch cannot be coached or there's a disconnect between the two? What you just said to me right there, say it again in like 3.5 minutes, all right? Say it again in 3.5 minutes, all right?
Okay, sure.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Are we getting the old Kanye back? Can we look for some new music on the horizon?
I don't want to be that guy.
All right. Just
ask. Not tonight.
All right. Not tonight. Let it breathe for a day.
Well, let it simmer. I mean, the man's got a lot of problems as it is.
His music was so great.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get that this time.
All right.
So you want me to say to you what I said to you before?
Yeah. Say what you were going to say, because I think this is an interesting conversation.
I'll just say it again. It's chicken egg situation with Nagy and Trubisky, because a lot of people have said Nagy hasn't tailored his coaching style to Trubisky. He's trying to run the Kansas City offense, but he doesn't have Kansas City players. He has Mitchell Trubisky, and he used to have Tariq Cohen, and he doesn't this year, but he's never tried to run the system. I argue that, yes, that is true, but at the same time, Trubisky hasn't learned anything in 4 years. He hasn't gotten better at anything in 4 years. He's still overthrowing receivers. His feet still don't set in the pocket. He's not going through his progressions at all. He hasn't done anything better in 4 years. And I don't know if that's development by the Bears or it's just this kid just doesn't get it and this is just who he is. I don't think he can be coached. This is who he is. He's not going to throw a more accurate football.
And you said if they say you got to go deep, you got to stretch the field.
He can't do it.
How do you coach up a player to then eventually do it? Obviously, it's mechanics. It's the fundamentals of throwing a football, standing in the pocket, standing tall, throwing, going through your progressions, reading through them on a play, understanding the longer you stay in the pocket, even though the rush may be coming for you, a player may break open in a later route that you can hit down the field and really hurt the defense. Seems like something he does not get.
In the last few games that we've been watching, you're like, all right, Mitch, all right, he's making all these completions under 10 yards. All right, cool. He has a great throw, one great throw, more than 10 yards down the field. You're like, all right. And then he throws another pick in the end zone. You're like, what are you doing?
Well,
I understand that the Bears defense had three drop picks. The Packers defense also had two drop picks.
To me, the scary part is how bad he misses on some of the... Like, here is the essence of Mitchell Trubisky as a quarterback. Some of the misses are so bad, it surprises the defense. You notice that in the Packer who was in the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
Not the one who was guarding the intended receiver?
No.
As Allen Robinson, the throw was so far behind Allen Robinson and the defender of Allen Robinson that the Packers defensive back was like, oh!
He almost caught it. It hit him in the chest.
Right. Like, it was, it shocked him how bad the throw was.
Yes.
Like, that right there is the essence of Trubisky as a quarterback. And that's why, from the start, sitting in the stadium, I've said to you for years, that doesn't look right.
No.
And what was in the stadium 4 years ago? It was a running back swing play, mm-hmm. where he just had to lay it out there for one of the running backs, and he airmailed it, mm-hmm. by like 15 yards over the running back's head. And we're sitting the same. We're like how is that an NFL
here's
quarterback?
The thing. Here's
Who did
the
that?
Thing. Take Milton and Oswego. Milton,
you're on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Milton. What would you like to say to us?
What's happening, fellas? I know it's going to sound crazy, but we have nothing else to lose. I say they let the Bears go out there and air the ball out. Let Mitch try
YOLO.
To throw 500 yards.
But Milton,
hey, YOLO.
He can't.
Hey.
But Milton, he can't. He can't
saying.
Air it out. He can't do it.
YOLO. Just YOLO. Just
hey,
go for it.
I mean, pump him up all during the week. Let him get long throws and practice. Do everything he can do in the week. And just let him air it out. The worst case scenario, which in my opinion would be the best case scenario, we get whooped like a college score, 55-13, and the Bears open their eyes like, thank God we got to get rid of everybody now. You know, so, what can it hurt?
Well, Milton, I'll tell you this. I think no matter what happens this weekend, I think the front office, they're back. I think Nagy, I think they're back.
I think everyone's back. Maybe not Pagano. Everyone else is back.
Y'all just hurt me for the night.
No, don't be hurt, Milton.
There's so much more.
Come on.
Devontae Smith's about to win the Heisman. There's so much more in the world. Come on.
Oh, I know. Hey, I won money on Ohio State last game. I'm going to try to win a little more this game when they play Alabama.
All right, then. That's enough out of you, Milton.
Thank you, Milton. That was awesome. Milton, give us a call. 312-332-3776.
This is Breaking News, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Sir, I'll let you handle it.
Devontae Smith, wide receiver for the Alabama Crimson Tide, has won the 2020 Heisman Trophy.
First wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy
Amazing.
Since Tim Brown at Notre Dame, right?
20 receiving touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, a couple punt returns. I mean, he set records at Alabama this year. He tied the SEC record for touchdowns as a wide receiver. I mean, he did it all this year, especially after Jalen Waddle goes out for Alabama for most of the season. I mean, he has done everything and more for this team. And, you know, people often criticize Alabama when they've got, you know, Devontae Smith out there returning punts, and it's because of his speed. But he does it. He beats out Kyle Trask. He beats out Trevor Lawrence. He beats out his own quarterback, Mac Jones. And Devontae Smith is your 2020 Heisman Trophy winner.
So the coverage is on ESPN television right now. Devontae Smith is talking at the podium. He's standing next to the Heisman Trophy. He and his teammate, Mac Jones, and Nick Saban are at the facility in Tuscaloosa. Trask, Lawrence, and those two individuals are in their locations. So did they know ahead of time that one of the two Alabama players
no,
were going to
so
win? Trophy that's sitting
they
there?
They sent each winner
a
trophy, yeah.
Are they all the
So Kyle Trask
trophies,
had a trophy. I don't know if it's the real one or a replica, but Kyle Trask had a trophy
or
there.
Are those like the Reggie Bush? Is that the Reggie Bush trophy?
I hope he doesn't have to give this one back, but
they were together,
yeah.
Mac and Smith were together,
yeah.
In the same location. There was a handshake, a hug, Saban with the
mm-hmm.
hug, right?
Yeah.
And then he walked to a podium, and the trophy is right there. I'm like, he's sitting right next to the trophy. Didn't they know? They knew the whole time?
No. They all had trophies at their wherever they were, at their location, so they could have the picture of them holding it up when whoever won.
Wide receiver Devontae Smith from Alabama wins the Heisman Trophy. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.